Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We have a very interesting show lined up for you today. Later in the hour, Peter will be welcoming Michael Fishback from Great Whale Conservancy to discuss the latest news from Iceland regarding fin whale hunting. But first, I'm very pleased to welcome a good friend, Dr. Richard Schwartz. He is president of Jewish Vegetarians of North America and of the Society of Ethical and Religious Vegetarians, as well as a prolific author of numerous books and articles. And his latest project involves working to restore and transform the ancient Jewish holiday, New Year for Animals, to increase awareness of Jewish teachings on compassion to animals. And I think you will find that it's nicely encapsulates much of what he is putting forth. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Dr. Lori. Great to be on your program, and kudos for all the wonderful work you've been doing.
Thank you, sir. Richard, last year you described to us a campaign to revive and modernize an ancient Jewish holiday, and August 6th begins this year's celebration. What are the old and the new holidays, and what are you trying to accomplish?
Okay, yeah, this is the ancient New Year for animals, and actually it started related to sacrifices, which is why we stayed away for quite a while. But then I got this idea, why not restore it and transform it? So that's our objective, to transform it into a holiday to increase awareness of Judaism's powerful teachings on compassion for animals and to have it what's called a tikkun, or a repair or healing for the terrible ways that animals are treated today, because that really is essential to get Jews back toward vegetarianism, you know, for many, many reasons that Jews should be vegetarians.
Yes, and you nicely described that to us last year on the show. So, Richard, over the past year, how has it been received?
Okay, well, we started out, we had a number of events last year throughout the U.S. and a couple of events in Israel, more this year. Actually, our Jewish Vegetarians of North America, which, as you pointed out, I'm president of, is really getting reestablished now. We have a new executive director, and we're really hoping to have a major, major push next year. But we've had endorsements from rabbis and a lot of interest in it, and we think it's essential because, unfortunately, within the Jewish tradition, there's a lot of discussion about sacrifices, which animals can you eat, how do you slaughter them. But many, many teachings on compassion for animals, that's so important, by the way. It's part of the Ten Commandments, which indicates not only are people to rest on the Sabbath day, but animals as well. And the Book of Psalms indicates that God's compassion is over all of his works, including that of animals. And just one more teaching, the Book of Proverbs indicates that the righteous individual considers the life of his or her animal. And because you've had many programs on this, I'm sure your listeners are well aware that the realities out there on the factory farms is so, so far from these beautiful Jewish teachings and that of other religions, by the way, all of which are based on compassion.
So, Richard, what do you want people to do this year to get acquainted with the holiday, and what do you want them to do and take action with?
Okay, well, I hope people interested in this will contact me at president@jewishveg.com. So it's, again, president@jewishveg.com. And I have four articles that were published last year on the holiday. We have a press release. We have a lot of information on it. I hope people have celebrations of this. By the way, this is reestablishing this holiday and is a precedent for that, because there was also a New Year for Trees, and that too sort of died out when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in the year 70 of the Common Era. And that's been reestablished, and it's pretty much like a Jewish Earth Day today. So we're hoping that'll happen here, too. So if people want to celebrate this in some way, they should get in contact with me. And I have produced, like, the beginning of a sample Haggadah, something that's used to have what they call a Seder, just as they have for Passover and Tu B'Shvat. So we're developing some ritual. This is going to take a while, you know, to try to get this into the Jewish tradition onto the Jewish agenda. So we've made a start. We're looking for suggestions. And, you know, in a way, it's an audacious idea to try to bring back a holiday long been dead in the Jewish tradition. But we think it's essential because it's really urgent that there be a major shift to vegetarianism in order to reduce the epidemic of disease that's occurring today and also the many environmental threats.
Very good. Richard, if you look back to European Jewish culture from around 1800 to 1900, was there any notion of vegetarianism, or is the Jewish vegetarian movement modern or recent and in parallel with the vegetarian movement generally?
I think it's fairly recent. I'm sure there's always been some people throughout history, and many I may not even be aware of, but and there's certainly a tremendous amount in the Torah teachings about compassion for animals, about taking care of the environment, about preserving our health, about helping hungry people. These are the issues that I've been using to try to really spread the idea that vegetarianism is certainly not contrary to Judaism or other religions, but that the best way to carry out the religious teachings is through vegetarianism. So I think it certainly has been spiking, and we've had more and more articles about it. I myself have over 200 articles at a website, and it's jewishveg.com, and just a slash, and then my last name, S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z. And I also have made my books available there, third edition now, my book Judaism and Vegetarianism, also that of Judaism and Global Survival. I also have a recent book, a little bit challenging. It's called Who Stole My Religion? Revitalizing Judaism, Applying Jewish Values to Help Heal Our Imperiled Planet. And that I've made freely available as an e-book at whostolemyreligion.com as sort of like a wake-up call that Judaism, like other religion, has such powerful teachings that needed perhaps as never before in our time when we're heading toward a climate catastrophe and other environmental disasters.
Richard, why are modern implementations of kosher law inadequate to meet your goals? Are they, in fact, a hindrance to improving how animals are treated?
Well, actually, vegetarianism is the ideal form of keeping these kosher laws. You know, the kosher laws were designed in terms of slaughtering of animals to minimize pain, but unfortunately that's only looking at the final seconds, because a person considering compassion toward animals should consider the really unbelievably horrible treatment on factory farms that I'm sure you've had many guests discuss in the past. And well, so a person who really wants to be consistent with the kosher laws ideally should be vegetarian. It's the best way to make sure that one is keeping kosher. And there's a rabbi, Shlomo Riskin, who's a chief rabbi of a city in Israel, and well-known and a good commentator on the Torah, and he has written a number of times that the laws of kashrut, or the Jewish dietary laws, were designed to teach us compassion and lead us gently to vegetarianism. So there's certainly no inconsistency there.
In the July 12, 2013 Haaretz newspaper, Richard, the headline reads, Israeli food giant admits to abusive slaughterhouse conditions that would horrify meat eaters. And the subtitle reads, in response to class action suits prompted by investigative reports, Tnuva says consumers don't want to know how the sausages are made, even when they're kosher. Comment about that real quick, Richard.
Right. Actually, I had an article published about that in the Jerusalem Post, and that's an example. I think it was Paul McCartney who said, if slaughterhouses had glass walls, there'd be many, many more vegetarians today.
Right.
And again, there's been, as you know, there's been many underground studies. You know, when people go in with hidden cameras, they find all kinds of abuses. And it was interesting, in that Tnuva case, it was very unusual, but here was a major slaughterhouse, I think possibly the biggest one in Israel, admitting that the conditions are terrible and people who eat meat just don't want to know about it. They want to be shielded from it because they are being sued by two people who said that, I think a class action suit, that many consumers of kosher meat feel that animals are being treated well, and all the ads spotlight that, but the realities are far from that. So there again, it's amazing the abuses that take place in slaughterhouses, although the laws of slaughter were designed to minimize pain, to be as compassionate as possible, but in modern intensive conditions, you know,
Richard, we got to take a break.
Okay.
Don't go away. More with Richard Schwartz right after the break.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org.
This is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for joining us on Animals Today. Each week, we explore the wide variety of important issues concerning the welfare of animals, how people treat them, and where they fit in our society. From whale protectors on the open seas, to lawyers in court, to scouts helping their local shelter, join me to get the latest on animal welfare news, stories, and events from around the world. And visit us on Facebook to join the conversation. That's Animals Today every week right here on the station, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, make sure to visit us at animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to any of our previous shows free. Animals Today brings you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics. Much of our support comes from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at AIAnimals.org. That's AIAnimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Hey, folks, Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. Right now, the rates on a 30-year mortgage are among the lowest that we've seen in decades. So we asked ourselves, what could be more perfect than that? Then we came up with the answer, the Amazing 7 Mortgage, exclusively from Quicken Loans. You see, with our Amazing 7 Mortgage, you get the best of both worlds. It has a low initial rate for the first 7 years, and it's a 30-year term. After the first 7 years, the rate may change once per year. It's perfect. The Amazing 7 Mortgage lets you take advantage of a super low mortgage rate for the first 7 years. That's 7 entire years till the year 2020. Today's super low initial rate on our Amazing 7 Mortgage is all the way down to 2.99%, APR 3.08%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit us at quickenloans.com. The Amazing 7 Mortgage. One more way we're engineered to amaze.
Adjustable rate subject to change. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hey, it's everyone's favorite meat game.
Jackpot!
Judy, spin the meat wheel. You landed on New York steak. Well, you can keep the steak or...
swap it!
...for the New York pork chop.
Yes, I'll swap it!
Way to go, Judy! You've won delicious pork and great value on...
Jackpot!
Find affordable and swap-worthy pork recipes at porkbeinspired.com. Pork, be inspired. This message funded by America's Pork Producers and the Pork Checkoff.
I like saving money. In fact, to save on lunches, every day I pack myself a sandwich on whole wheat bread. It's healthy, plus it keeps people who are gluten-free from stealing my lunch. Another good way to save money is to switch your car insurance to GEICO. They've even got a special discount for people that are gluten-free. Nah, not really. But that's not a bad idea.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Welcome back to the show. We're speaking to President of Jewish Vegetarians of North America, Richard Schwartz. Richard, let's now delve further into the relationship of diet and agriculture, climate and environment, and Jewish imperatives, because I know that is where your main interests are now. You have written that we are not only ruining the environment, but we're facing catastrophe. Please explain what you mean.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is very bad news. I'm glad you're bringing this up because this is one of the main reasons that I think it's essential to be a major switch toward vegetarianism. Well, I wish it was just my theory or that of a few scientists, but this is a consensus. Every science academy throughout the world, 97% of the climate scientists are saying that climate change is happening. It's largely human caused, and it's heading toward a catastrophe, in effect. And unfortunately, it's not a matter of we have 50 years, maybe 100 years to do some things. Many of them are saying we could be very close to a tipping point where climate change spirals out of control with very disastrous results unless major changes occur. And we're seeing this, seems almost every day. Probably noticed just a week or two ago, unbelievable temperatures, 115 or 120 degrees out in Las Vegas and Phoenix and Arizona. Wildfires way beyond what we've had, 19 brave firefighters losing their lives just a week or so ago. And we're seeing more and more severe storms, droughts in some areas, flooding in other areas. I said wildfires, record temperatures. And one very important wake-up call was just a few weeks ago, for the first time, according to scientists, in like 3 million years, they say, we hit 400 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and this is very serious because there's a group called 350.org, the major group fighting against climate change, and they have that name, 350.org, because 350 is what they think is a threshold value, you know, above which we're in danger of major climate problems. So we're at 400, and instead of moving back toward that relatively safe value of 350 parts per million of carbon dioxide, we're increasing by 2 or 3 parts per million per year. And the vegetarian connection is that animal agriculture is a major contributor. Just try to be brief, but two major studies, one by UN Food and Agricultural Organization, indicated amazingly that animal agriculture emits more greenhouse gases than all the cars, trucks, planes, ships, all the means of transportation worldwide combined. Amazing when you think of all the cars and the traffic jams and all the planes and all. And then a study that was published in World Watch magazine in 2009 by two environmentalists associated with the World Bank indicated that the livestock, so-called livestock sector, is responsible for more greenhouse gas emissions than is emitted. At least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions that are human induced. So you can see that it's essential that to be a major shift toward plant-based diets to have a chance to avert a climate catastrophe.
Richard, you discussed the risk of global climate catastrophe if we don't change our ways. Do you foresee a sudden event akin to biblical events like the Great Flood or the plagues, or is this going to be a gradual poisoning of the earth?
Well, again, there's so many wake-up calls we're getting. I don't know if there will be one catastrophe, but think of Sandy, think of Katrina. 60% or so of the U.S. Was actually in drought this past summer. And just another example, the Mississippi River. And a couple of years ago, major flooding. This summer, the drought was so severe, the level in the Mississippi River was so low that barges had trouble going back and forth. And then again, very recently, we've had additional flooding. So things are happening. I saw TV amazing pictures of a flood in China that was just ripping down buildings. Canada's had recent flooding. So you wonder how many wake-up calls do we need. We've got so many things happening there, and last year was the warmest year in the contiguous U.S. Every decade, since the 70s has been warmer than the previous one, and all 12 of the warmest years in history have been since 1998. Now, here's, we didn't have a minute, there's an amazing thing I've been trying to do to have sort of a breakthrough, a game changer. Unfortunately, even though it's a science issue, there's a disagreement. Most progressives feel climate change is happening. Conservatives are very much in denial. So I have been in touch with a very unusual group called Conserve America, formerly known as Republicans for Environmental Protection, and urging them to speak out more to try to break through the conservative denial. And amazingly, I've gotten them to agree, but with one minor problem, they say they need $500,000 to do it. So I've contacted insurance companies and they're all saying, you know, there's a lot of money, but it's a pittance compared to the amount that they're going to have to pay, so far without success. But if any of the listeners have any suggestions, because that could be a game changer to get it onto the U.S. agenda. We have to be a leader. It's not enough, but if the U.S. is not actively involved, it's unlikely we're going to have the changes necessary. So there's a potential out there, and I hope somehow if we can find that, if you can get a conservative group making that statement, it becomes almost like the proverbial man bites dog case, and we get the media very much interested and involved, and hopefully it would get the issue on the agenda and give us a fighting chance to avert that climate catastrophe.
Are Jews in North America not fulfilling their duties regarding the environment?
Well, very few people are, fortunately. It's a major, major Jewish teaching that in Genesis 2:15, it says that human beings were put in the Garden of Eden to work the land, but also to guard it. We had to be co-workers with God in preserving the environment, and unfortunately, I feel much more should be done it. And that's why, as I said, I wrote that book, Who Stole My Religion? The teachings are there in Judaism and other religions, but we've got to put them into practice because of the tremendous nature of the threats. I think that it's got to be like a focal point for all of society to respond to these threats. And there's a phrase in Judaism, Tikkun Olam, which means the healing and repair of the planet. That has to become a central focus in Judaism and I think in other religions as well.
Interesting discussion with Richard Schwartz. Don't go away. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. You're listening to Animals Today.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS that you can't pay? Call now for immediate help. 866-657-8517. At Community Tax Relief, we help consumers like you. If you take on the IRS alone, you could be facing levies, liens, even wage garnishments, personal or business tax issues. If you owe the IRS $10,000 or more, they will aggressively come after you. Protect yourself and your family today from what the IRS can do to you. Call now. 866-657-8517. They can freeze your bank account, even garnish your wages. Our expert team of tax professionals can solve your tax problems once and for all. Call now for a free 5-minute tax debt analysis. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517. 866-657-8517.
It's everyone's favorite meat game.
Chop Swap!
Ken picked grill number one and got ribeye steak.
Ken, you can keep the steak.
Or
swap it
for the ribeye pork chop.
Swap it.
Pork is less expensive.
I'll swap it.
Nicely done, Ken. You've won delicious pork and great value on
Chop Swap.
Find affordable and swap-worthy pork recipes at porkbeinspired.com. Pork, be inspired. This message funded by America's Pork Producers and the Pork Checkoff.
If you're a Medicare member with diabetes, you may be confused over recent changes affecting where you can buy test strips. Don't worry. CVS Pharmacy continues to accept Medicare Part B coverage for diabetes testing supplies. Our stores carry all major brands and offer a 90-day supply at the same low Medicare copay as mail order. You may even qualify for a free OneTouch or CVS brand meter from the manufacturer. So stop by your local CVS Pharmacy today.
If you're struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Okay, new kid, here's your company phone. I've pre-programmed it with every number you need in life. The first one's my personal number. Never call it, ever. The second one is 1-800-GRANGER. Use it for everything else. Any problem you have, they can help. I've also loaded the Grainger app for you. You can download it for free, tippy-tap, on the spot. Your solution is on its way. Grainger, get it? Got it? Good. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
75 years ago, the ballpoint pen was introduced. That happens to be around the same time that Geico started saving people money on their car insurance. All of a sudden, people had more money in their checkbooks to buy all kinds of things to make their lives better. And with all that extra money in their checkbooks, thank goodness they now had a ballpoint pen to sign all those checks.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
At GMC, our customers know our service is as professional grade as the trucks we sell. And now GMC is very proud to announce that we've just received the J.D. Power & Associates Award for highest in customer satisfaction with dealer service among mass market brands. Perhaps that's because no one knows GMC vehicles like the GMC Certified Service Experts. From their hours of GMC training to their specialized tools and equipment, it's professional grade service for your professional grade truck. GMC Certified Service at your local GMC dealer. There's never been a better time to try it than now. For a limited time, retail customers can get AC Delco Professional Durastop brake pads installed for only $79.95 or less per axle after $20 mail-in rebate debit card. Allow 6 to 8 weeks for delivery. Offer ends July 31st, 2013. Tax and other services, including turning or replacing rotors, are extra. For J.D. Power & Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We're speaking to Richard Schwartz, who's president of Jewish Vegetarians of North America. Richard, there are only about 14 million Jews on Earth, which is less than 0.2% of the human population. Even if each one adopted a vegan diet and adopted a low-impact lifestyle, what difference would it make?
Okay, actually, there's two teachings related to that. One is that Jews, ideally ought to be, according to Isaiah, a light unto the nations. You know, you never know the example we show, how that will affect other people. I think it would be amazing, you know, if there was an announcement that all or a major part of the Jewish people became vegetarians, that would sort of get people to think, what's going on? How come? Let's look into this. Let's find out more about it. And hopefully that would start a major, major change. There's another teaching in the Talmud that says, it is not thine to complete the task, but neither art thou free to desist from it. Meaning, in effect, that your impact may be not that great. You know, you can't complete the entire task of, in effect, saving the world, but you have to do whatever you can as much as possible. So, and also just reminding myself that famous statement, I think, was Margaret Mead, said, never doubt that a small, determined group can make a major, major difference in changing the world. In fact, that's the only thing that ever has done it. You know, sort of paraphrasing. So,
yeah.
Those are some of the responses.
Well stated. Richard, in the Jewish culture, there's a strong emphasis on the value of education and hard work, and the Jews are very proud of the scientific achievements they've made. Where does technological innovation fit in your formulation? If we continue with our current food supply system and use of water resources, couldn't we figure out a way using technology to get it all worked out?
Well, technology definitely has to be part of the answer, but not the complete answer. You know, very often people come up with technological solutions. Like, for example, we have, some say, the finest medical system. We've got all kinds of machines, whereas we could prevent the diseases in the first place. So sometimes a simple answer, for example, all kinds of technology. They had the so-called Green Revolution that was supposed to really solve the hunger problem, but that required a lot more water, and a lot of countries don't have that water. So the thing is, we're looking for technology. Again, it has to be part of the picture, but when you consider, amazingly, that 70% of the grain produced in the U.S. is fed to animals destined for slaughter, that there's a way of solving the hunger problem using some technology, but realizing how wasteful our system is. And in a way, it's madness and sheer insanity because, again, 70% being fed to animals, and we take very healthy, nutritious foods like soy and corn and oats, high in fiber and complex carbohydrates, devoid of cholesterol and saturated fat, feed those very healthy foods to animals, and we end up with the meat and other animal products just the opposite: high in cholesterol, high in saturated fat, devoid of nutrients and fiber and complex carbohydrates.
Outstanding point. You know, the concepts of environmental catastrophe and widespread animal cruelty are very removed from most people who are just busy working to stay afloat. Right. Are Americans ready to hear and heed your messages, or do things really need to get much worse before we see real action?
Well, unfortunately, you've probably heard the expression, denial is not just a river in Egypt. There's tremendous denial out there, and we are, in effect, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic as we head toward a giant iceberg. And unfortunately, we've already had so many major, major events. As I said, consider Katrina and Sandy, the major droughts, the floods, the wildfires. I mean, the trouble is the media is not connecting the dots, and there's a lot of denial, and there are the major energy industries that are trying to keep people misled, misinformed, and all. But as I said before, every science academy is indicating that we've got to take action, 97% at least of the climate scientists. So we've got to make people ready. We need leadership to point out where we're heading and the major changes have to be made, and many of them will be positive side effects. You know, people walk and bike more rather than driving cars, use mass transit, etc., and move toward a healthy vegan diet. These are positive things, you know, climate change, hunger or not. So these are things that people should be doing anyway.
Richard, I want to ask you about animal welfare and animal rights to see how contemporary Jewish thinking regards some of the rationale that secular animal rights advocates employ. And I will start with the notion of justice. Many animal rights activists say the bottom line is that we do not kill, experiment, exploit, or eat animals because it is inherently unjust. It's just wrong. How do Jews react to that idea?
Well, that actually is part of Jewish teachings, that what Judaism does teach in its very first chapter that only human beings are created in God's image. But as I said before, God's mercies or compassions over all of his creatures, we're supposed to imitate God, so we shouldn't be misusing animals. A person would say, but Judaism says that if you're on a desert island and you have a choice of either killing and eating an animal or dying, then one should kill that animal. But, of course, that is something that doesn't exactly happen that often. So, you know, if there's a basic human need, then humans do come before animals. But, you know, we definitely don't need them for food. We can get all the nourishment before a healthier and a vegan diet. And so Judaism does teach that it is unjust. We have a powerful teaching in Hebrew, it's Tzar Bar Chaim, a mandate not to mistreat animals. And again, many, many powerful teachings on compassion for animals in Judaism.
Where do international law and treaties come into play in your view? We have India and China spewing massive amounts of waste into the air and fouling the waters. Why should Americans of any religion be forced to buy $30 light bulbs and have low-flow toilets when not everyone is into the game?
Well, again, we have to do what we can. First of all, other countries like China, unfortunately, is very polluted, but they are very concerned, and they are trying to take steps. And I think they were ahead in some ways in realizing what the problem was. They've had so-called one-child policy for many, many years, where they encouraged couples to only have one child, and if they did, they would really make sure that child had the best education, great opportunities, and all. So again, we have to serve as an example, and we have to educate and let people know, unfortunately, it's one world, and there's no boundaries when it comes to pollution, etc. So we've got to serve as a positive example and do whatever we can in educating others. Because there are some countries out there, like small islands in the Pacific, who are really in the forefront because they realize as the oceans rise that they're in very great danger of being inundated. So again, have to do all we can to educate. And I'd like to very respectfully urge every listener to really get involved and do whatever you can, write letters to editors, contact your religious leaders and ask them respectfully, at least put it on the agenda, have discussions on it, even if they don't necessarily come out for veganism at the start, and try to get it onto the political agenda. It's just got to become the most important thing if we want to leave a decent world for future generations and shift our very imperiled planet onto a sustainable path.
Very good. Richard, remind us where people, my listeners, can find out about your books and your writings.
Okay, well, they can contact me at president@jewishveg.com, and they can see my 200-plus articles, 25 podcasts, and a complete text of my Judaism and Vegetarianism book at jewishveg.com/my last name, S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z. And my new book, they can read as an e-book completely at whostolemyreligion, or oneword.com. And I hope
Richard Schwartz. Richard Schwartz, thank you very much for appearing on Animals Today.
It's my pleasure, and kudos for the wonderful work you're doing, and best wishes for continued success.
Thank you, sir. Don't go away. Next, we'll be discussing whales with Michael Fishback. Oh,
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at AIAnimals.org. That's the letter A, I, animals.org.
Hey folks, Jay Farner here, president of Quicken Loans. Right now, the rates on a 30-year mortgage are among the lowest that we've seen in decades. So we asked ourselves, what could be more perfect than that? Then we came up with the answer, the Amazing 7 Mortgage, exclusively from Quicken Loans. You see, with our Amazing 7 Mortgage, you get the best of both worlds. It has a low initial rate for the first 7 years, and it's a 30-year term. After the first 7 years, the rate may change once per year. It's perfect. The Amazing 7 Mortgage lets you take advantage of a super low mortgage rate for the first 7 years. That's 7 entire years till the year 2020. Today's super low initial rate on our Amazing 7 Mortgage is all the way down to 2.99%, APR 3.08%. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit us at quickenloans.com. The Amazing 7 Mortgage. One more way we're engineered to amaze.
Adjustable rate subject to change. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
If you're a Medicare member with diabetes, you may be confused over recent changes affecting where you can buy test strips. Don't worry. CVS Pharmacy continues to accept Medicare Part B coverage for diabetes testing supplies. Our stores carry all major brands and offer a 90-day supply at the same low Medicare copay as mail order. You may even qualify for a free OneTouch or CVS brand meter from the manufacturer. So stop by your local CVS Pharmacy today.
Hey, it's everyone's favorite meat game.
Cat Swap!
Judy, spin the meat wheel. You landed on New York steak. Well, you can keep the steak or
swap it
for the New York pork chop.
Yes, I'll swap it.
Way to go, Judy. You've won delicious pork and great value on
Cat Swap.
Find affordable and swap-worthy pork recipes at porkbeinspired.com. Pork, be inspired. This message funded by America's Pork Producers and the Pork Checkoff.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
Welcome back to the show. Recent headline, Iceland resumes endangered fin whale hunts. This was brought to our attention by Michael Fishback, who is co-founder of Great Whale Conservancy. And we asked Michael to join us to explain what the heck is going on in Iceland. So welcome, Michael.
Hey, thanks a lot. Pleasure to be here.
So why don't you give us a little bit about the history of the fin whale, how it's regarded, and before you lead into what's happening now.
Okay, yeah. I mean, the fin whale is sort of like the forgotten whale. I like to equate it maybe to the mountains of California very quickly. Everybody's heard of Mount Whitney, the highest mountain in California, but who's ever heard of Mount Williamson, the second highest mountain in California? So the fin whale is the second largest animal on the planet, but it's nowhere near as well known as the blue whale, who is the largest animal on the planet. And it also doesn't do things like spy hop and jump out of the water next to boats like humpback whales. So, and it doesn't, in fact, even hardly ever lift its tail out of the water when it dives. So it is a majestic animal, but it has largely been a forgotten whale because of the things I mentioned previously.
And yet it's so huge, I imagine it's been a target for hunting and for its products.
Yeah, it is huge. It's almost as long as blue whales. I mean, big fin whales are easily up into the 70 to 80-foot range, the largest ones. They're a little sleeker than blue whales. They're the greyhounds of the sea, a very, very fast whale. And, in fact, you're correct about in the days of whaling, when blue whales were depleted and they were difficult to find and catch anymore, the attention turned to fin whales, the next biggest whale, and they were decimated in the 20th century.
Yeah. Okay, so what's happening now with fin whales that's got everyone all excited?
Well, it seems that Iceland, who has a very interesting history with whales and whaling, has a new prime minister and a new, business opportunist, and they have somehow joined forces. I don't know exactly the details of it, but they've decided to hunt fin whales again by setting their own quotas. And they are not really even trying to hide this from the public. There have been plenty of video cameras videoing the first fin whales that have been hauled back into the rendering areas on land. So they're out there killing fin whales, nor are they hiding the fact that they're doing this commercially. They're not even saying for scientific purposes anymore, and that the meat is going to be sold to Japan. And they set their own quotas because the International Whaling Commission does not allow them to do what they're doing. And they're going after fin whales. But there have been some very interesting developments in the last 24 hours to this story.
Oh, so lead on.
Here's what happened. Let's pretend that, again, we're in California at a small airport and we need to get to, say, New York City. Are we going to be able to fly nonstop? No. We're going to have to fly to a larger hub that then allows, like L.A., for example, that allows us to then get to New York City. So when Iceland wants to export anything that's large out of its country on a boat to a place like Japan, it cannot send a ship directly to Japan. Its hubs are in Europe, so it must go to Europe first, and then things must be transferred to go on to Japan. Here's what's happened in the last 24 hours. A few fin whale bodies, you know, parts, meat and parts of bodies were loaded into containers, put on a Icelandic small cargo ship and sent to Hamburg, Germany, where they were going to be transferred to a monster cargo ship that would take them to Japan. When they got to Germany, Greenpeace demanded that the customs people looked at what was on board because they wanted to tell the world that this was the product of an endangered species. Let's remember, fin whales are an endangered species. That is their global classification, endangered. So the customs people in Germany brought the containers off that boat. The boat could not wait for Germany's decision to release the containers, so it left. The Germans looked at what was in the containers and then decided that they were going to allow it to go to Japan. So it got loaded on another cargo ship in port in Hamburg. The people from Greenpeace climbed onto the lines of that boat, literally the lines that set it to shore, the anchor lines and the lines that set it to shore, latched themselves on, said that they weren't leaving, unfurled a banner against whaling and the trade of endangered species, And basically, the Germans said that this was not worth it. They pulled the containers off that ship. They said that they would no longer participate in the transfer of animal parts of endangered species and whale parts, and, you know, especially of endangered whales. And they stuck the stuff back on a ship and sent it back to Iceland. So these fin whales are now, as we speak, on their way back to Iceland, an extraordinary set of circumstances.
Indeed. And what a classic Greenpeace maneuver there. How exciting. Holy cow.
Yeah, how exciting. And, you know, I think really the big question here is, you know, who's causing this? A lot of people look at the people from Greenpeace and say that they're, you know, they're crazy and they cause this and they do these radical things. And I think that we need, in many cases, to rethink this, because I think we need to rethink about cetaceans, about whales, dolphins, and porpoises in general, about the laws we have around them, about the fact that the killing of these animals and the captivation of these animals for shows in aquariums and such should really, there's an argument that that should all be part of our past history as humans, and that we should recognize these animals for what they are, for the intelligent beings they are, and for the incredible life forms that they are, and for the importance they play in our ecosystem and in our economies, because people pay lots of money to go see them. And and that the Greenpeace people are just simply reacting to the radical moves of other people who will not recognize this. So it's very, it's a tricky situation.
Well, that's very well stated, and I think most of our listeners would certainly agree with you. Michael, give us your contact information, your website, so people can learn more about you and whales and
yeah,
cetaceans.
Absolutely. So it's Michael Fishback, the Great Whale Conservancy. Our website is Great Whale Conservancy, and that's Vancy, V-A-N-C-Y, one word, greatwhaleconservancy.org. And if you look on the Act Now link at the top of our homepage, you'll see a petition to sign about the Icelandic issue, because our government plays a role in all of this. And we're linked in with Greenpeace's petition. It's the same petition. We praise them. We work with them on many issues. I think they take the lead on this one, but we are very supportive.
Thanks, Michael.
Okie dokie.
Thank you for listening. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks, so please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
The best moment was when they said not guilty. I think that was probably the best moment then.
Defense attorney for George Zimmerman, Mark Almira. Zimmerman was cleared last night by a six-woman jury in the shooting death of unarmed teenager Trayvon Martin. President Obama is calling for calm after the Zimmerman verdict. The president said, "We are a nation of laws," and the jury has spoken. The president also stated that the nation should honor the family of Trayvon Martin's request for peaceful reflection. The NAACP wants Zimmerman brought up on civil charges and is pushing the Martin family to file such charges. And with time running out, U.S. officials are struggling to cope with the task of launching the new online health insurance exchanges at the heart of President Obama's signature health care reforms by an October 1st deadline. This is IRN USA News.
If you came to Sears, I'd show you a Kenmore Elite French door refrigerator with 33 cubic feet of storage capacity. No other fridge holds more. Isn't that right, Gargantua?
Gargantua love big shiny box. Hold 50 pterodactyl wings. Gargantua love pterodactyl wings.
Yeah, it's a giant, all right. And I can help you save 30% on this model or any other Kenmore Elite refrigerator.
For experts who know more and save you more, this is Sears. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer valid 7/14-20.
If you're a Medicare member with diabetes, you may be confused over recent changes affecting where you can buy test strips. Don't worry. CVS Pharmacy continues to accept Medicare Part B coverage for diabetes testing supplies. Our stores carry all major brands and offer a 90-day supply at the same low Medicare copay as mail order. Even qualify for a free OneTouch or CVS brand meter from the manufacturer. So stop by your local CVS Pharmacy today.
A key congressional Republican said on Sunday that the Obama administration must step up efforts and exert any and all pressure on Russia to get it to hand over Edward Snowden, the former U.S. spy agency contractor turned fugitive leaker. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas and said he hoped the two sides could resume peace talks. There have been no dialogue whatsoever between the Israelis and the Palestinians over the last 3 years. And a string of bomb blasts in predominantly Shiite Muslim provinces of Iraq killed at least 24 people over the weekend. The violence is part of a sustained campaign of militant attacks this year that has prompted fear of wider conflict in a country where ethnic Kurds and Shiite Sunni Muslims have yet to find a stable power-sharing compromise. For the latest news and analysis, check out IRNUSA.com.
If you're like me, every time you see an ad on TV about feeding hungry children, it touches your heart. You know children are starving. You want to do something, but things are pretty tough here right now. Go to USAGoodness.com and find out how you could help feed hungry children while earning extra money to meet the needs of your own family. How great is that? I'm Andy Willoughby, and we'll show you how to be a social entrepreneur. Go to USAGoodness.com or call 800-301-6177, 800-301-6177.
Having back surgery to fix fractures caused by compression of the spine may not be more beneficial than more conservative treatments, according to new studies of Medicare patients. Researchers found that people who had so-called spinal augmentation had a similar likelihood of dying or having major complications as those who didn't have surgery. Speaking of back, Tim Lincecum was back after only winning four games.